This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. I'm so glad to be here with you today. We have a very special guest, Alana Russo, talking about ditching struggle and owning your value and moving your career and life to spectacular triumph. Alana helps people see how they're limiting themselves, helps them to decrease fear, increase confidence, and use their energy to show up in a new, profound way. Welcome to the show, Alana. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me, Mari. I am fabulous today. Yeah.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your story, how you came to do what you're doing these days.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because I'm someone that's really been a creative for most of my life. So I started really my career as a graphic designer and art director and have worked, you know, in all different kind of creative agencies and had that designer life, but also was really interested in personal development. So I was always thinking about it, working on it, and I found, you know, the creative career pretty challenging, really tough, was not easy, and there's a lot of vulnerability involved. And so I started doing a lot of personal development work, and then I decided in 2016 to be a coach. So I kind of started to marry the two together and realized that there was tons of creatives out there, or people who just identify as being a bit more on the creative side, that were looking for guidance in life, needed a life coach, but they weren't really resonating with the, you know, the typical corporate coach, or, you know, they wanted someone a little bit different. And so because I've lived that creative path, I've lived that creative life, I was really able to tap into what they needed, and it's been really fulfilling.
Fantastic. What do you like most about your work with creatives?
Yeah, I think, partly I always seem to empathize and resonate with that need to kind of do different things and always be creatively stimulated. So I love that there's always ideas bouncing around in these conversations with the clients, like just naturally it goes there into brainstorming mode. And then I just really love seeing, you know, the confidence start to build and that they feel like they're capable of more. And then the spark starts to, you can see that spark, and it's just like really fulfilling. Like I love seeing people like move forward in their success, like start really going into themselves and being strong. I really love that.
Yeah, I love when I see a sparkle in someone's eye. And I do most of my coaching now virtually, so it's by video conferencing, but you can still see the spark, and it's like, wow, you know, that makes me feel really good. Awesome.
You can see it. Yeah,
absolutely, and you can feel it too. So let's talk a little bit about the role that authenticity played in it for yourself and maybe towards your clients as well.
Yeah. So I've thought a lot about authenticity recently, and it's kind of also why I loved the name of your show, because I definitely spent a lot of my 20s, I would say even like some of my 30s, really trying to be someone I wasn't. I had this idea of what a successful creative person would be like, or someone who's just successful in general, and I always felt I wasn't measuring up. I wasn't that person. And really, this me striving to be this vision in my head, which was really someone else's vision, was completely inauthentic. It wasn't me at all. And so once I really started to embrace personal development and really started going into coaching, that's where I started to feel authentic, because I'm, you know, doing something of service that is completely in alignment with my values. I'm helping people, and it's about the expression. It's like realizing authenticity is so much about expression and saying what you feel and stepping into that person you know you really want to be, but you kind of thought you were supposed to be someone else.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Oh, perfect sense. I went through that as well in my life. And, you know, from the time we're born, we're told who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. You know, our parents, society, teachers, everything telling us who to be. And if we don't stop and think for a minute, we end up most of our life, like me, I was well into my 40s before I realized, hey, whose life am I leading? So I think it's wonderful that we're talking about this. Yeah. So,
I love it. And the more authentic you start to become, the more addictive it is too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It gets to a point where I don't want to do anything now that, you know, I'm not fully feeling I fully want to do. You know, more and more you grow. And you never get to a point where you're fully authentic, I don't think. It's just a continual journey through your life. And you discover more and more nuances of it, I think.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Yes, agree. Yeah.
Very good. So you like to talk about struggle or about ditching struggle. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I do. I talk a lot about ditching struggle. I think it's so important, and it was one of the biggest, you know, personal realizations in my life was I really had an addiction to struggle. And some people think, you know, someone who's in a state of struggle may be someone who, you know, grew up in extremely, you know, hard circumstances or poverty or all the, we have kind of ideas of struggle, but really it's A, not being in alignment and being authentic, but it's like that idea of making life harder for yourself. And I was completely doing that. I was working like a crazy, like mad person. I was like a dog foaming at the mouth. I was, you know, just working insane hours, taking on too many roles. And, you know, I had to really think about it. Why was I, like, I loved burning myself out. I kind of saw it as a badge of honor. It made me feel like I was working hard. And the truth is I came from a household that was, you know, quite toxic. So the main theme of my household growing up was conflict and combat. So I grew up in this state of, like, constant, you know, arguing, and it was really, really heavy. So, of course, you know, I was going to start to bring, that was my normal. So I started bringing that into my life. And then on top of that, I had immigrant parents that came with very little and really did have to struggle to just get things together. But I was taking that with me, and I was thinking that that had to be my life. And so I just was constantly working, never really getting ahead. And it was like kind of running in quicksand, like you're trying to get somewhere, but you're just thinking the whole time. And so what I started to realize, especially as I was spending more time with women's, you know, networking groups and entrepreneurs, I work with quite a few entrepreneurs as well, and a lot of them were like really, really loving making life harder on themselves.
Interesting, huh? So, you know, when you say, what was it that happened, because you're doing this, and, you know, we do this, I did the same thing, Alana, in my life, in my earlier years. The more I did, the harder I worked, the more I was proving to myself with who knows who, right, how valuable I was. What did it take to realize this? At what point did you realize, hey, I'm creating this?
Such a good question, because I think everyone has those moments. It can come out of the blue. It can come, like, it can creep up on you and be silent. For me, really, my body was physically telling me to stop this struggle so early on in my life. It started with really, started showing up as migraines. That was like the first, migraines and stomach issues. It was really showing up constantly. I was, you know, literally in hospital for migraines. And I just thought, you know, like people do, especially when they're younger, I was not paying attention to the cues. I would take medication and just kind of like, I just have to keep going. And eventually I would have to take some rest. But I think in 2016 was really a breaking point for me, and this is when I really started going into coaching too. My body really shut down. It was like not, I was very sick. And so that to me was, I can't do this anymore. I have to rethink things. I don't want to be addicted to the struggle. So I literally had to think about, okay, how do I actually transform this addiction? Like that's what it felt like, because I didn't know any different. So it was a breaking point, and my body, and now I listen to my body. Like, it's the first thing to tell me when I'm out of alignment.
Absolutely. It takes a while to learn to listen to your body, too, because we're not used to it. We're so busy listening to things externally, right?
Yeah, external, and, you know, there's still times when you have to push through something. You have a, you know, a commitment. You just have to push through if you're not feeling up to it. But, you know, the trick with that is, like, okay, I know I have to do this, but I'm going to schedule this day or half a day where I have recovery time. So for me, scheduling recovery time and windows in my calendar is it's life-changing for me.
Yeah, I agree, and I have to look to that myself. Very nice. So as far as your clients, let's talk a little bit about how you help them discover that they are creating struggle in their life and how to get away from it.
Yeah, so, you know, some of them are definitely addicted to struggle. Not all of them, but I definitely feel, especially in the creative community, there's that starving artist mentality is prevalent, even if you're not necessarily an artist. It's like, I need to suffer for my career, especially if you're in a creative career. So we talk about that a lot. It's like, why does this have to be so hard? Why do you feel you can only charge so much money? We'll definitely bring the money conversation in, because, you know, not being paid well is a source of struggle, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we really look at, the limiting beliefs of where they may be deciding that this is all that they can earn in the creative realm. And then another thing I really look at is kind of kept popping up. And I had one client, and it really just came, like, through so clear, and I thought this is really prevalent, is you know, working on the OPG, which is the other people's goals. And again, kind of going back to the authenticity piece of not doing something for yourself. But, you know, I once had a client, and she literally not a creative. She's a business analyst. I don't even really know what business analysts do, like completely different from my world. But she's talking and so lovely. And I just said, like, have you ever heard of an OPG? And she said, what's that? I said, it's an other people's goals. And I said, because she wasn't reaching her goals. It's like, I have to ask you, is this something that you really want? Or is this something that's coming through from a family member or something? And, you know, it really was not what she wanted. And so that can cause a huge sort of struggle for people.
Wow. So because she didn't really want it, it wasn't manifesting for her, because it wasn't her desire.
Exactly.
What happened?
It really wasn't. But let me just add to that, is that she was also very frustrated because other people in her organization were getting promoted and reaching their goals way faster than her. So that was becoming a huge source of conflict. Like, why is it happening to everyone else but not me? And you know, I was like, looking at the alignment piece, how in alignment are you actually with this goal?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about alignment for a minute, because not every listener may understand what we talk about when we say alignment. Tell us what you mean by that. How do you know when you're in alignment with something?
Yeah, so that for me, my definition is usually being in the flow and feeling like your best version of yourself. And to each person, that's different. They show up as their best self, can be something different. But it's like that there's a calmness. There is this, you know, you're doing an activity or you're in a job and it feels right. So you don't feel that you have to push and pull. You're just kind of literally going in the flow. And the other thing is that it's in alignment with your core values. And that also differs for everybody else. I do work a lot with really looking at people's core values. Like, what is really important to you? If family is really important to you, then you need to make, you know, how do we make sure that that's a priority in your life? Because that will help you feel like you're in alignment.
Right, exactly. If you say your family's a priority to you, but you work 80 hours a week, then you're not making them a priority, and so you're out of alignment, like you say. That makes
completely. And I mean, that's a really simple one. And exactly.
Very nice. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Alana a question, you can call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
So you want your business to reach its potential? Is your technology supporting your growth or holding you back? Through business management coaching, real-time collaboration, and customized solutions, Mindcore can help leading companies take back control of their technology, streamline their business, and outperform their competition. Visit our website at mind-core.com to learn why 500-plus business leaders trust Mindcore for transforming their collaboration, cybersecurity, and cloud computing. That's mind-core.com.
What happens in your body begins with your energy. If you can't find relief from your pain, it may be time to look deeper. Mindy Stritch is a certified healing therapist that will help you discover the root cause of what hurts. To learn more, schedule a free consultation. Call 678-642-7771 or visit www.mindystritch.com. That's MindyStritch.com. Restoring your energy will renew your life.
New York, 1971. After surviving an assassination attempt on my life, I created another alias, Bulletproof. The mafia lifestyle can get messy when you start an all-out war on the mob. You know that movie, The Godfather? Well, I'm living it. Let's just say robbing a mob's money drop sets the whole war in motion. This thrilling killer series, Killer with a Heart, Killer with Three Heads, and coming soon, Killer with Black Blood by J.L. Hill, keeps your blood pumping. Get these urban crime fictions from Amazon or RockHillPublishing.com.
Are you ready for more? Ready to make a change but not sure what steps to take? Dr. Tracy, a certified executive coach with proven results, can help. If you're frustrated, unmotivated, feeling stuck, or out of place, Dr. Tracy will help you break through to the next level. Stop believing this is all there is and know there's more for you. Text COACHME to 833-372-4369 for a free consultation. You are ready. Text COACHME to 833-372-4369 for a free consultation.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Nori Mitchell, with special guest Alana Russo. She's a certified success coach for designers and creatives, and we're talking about ditching struggle and owning your value. So let's talk about the other part. We've talked about ditching struggle. Let's talk about owning your value, because that's really, really important.
Yeah, it's something that's hard for a lot of people. Definitely had my struggles with that. But that is really the empowerment piece. That's the piece that makes you feel confident from within. It's knowing that you bring something to the table. And I think back to the idea of conditioning and what people think. And we're kind of conditioned to not own our value. Especially as women, I will say that. So I think learning to get in touch with what you're actually bringing to the table, what your skills are, and learning how to be your best advocate, not waiting for someone else to recognize it in you. I mean, I recognize that for me, a lot of the early years of my life and career were waiting for someone else to recognize my value. Like, I wanted that external validation from someone else because I probably wasn't getting it from other sources at home or wherever. So I was constantly looking for external. I was an overachiever, like a teacher's pet kind of student, was always, ahead of the game and doing above and beyond to get that external validation to make me feel like I had value. And so what I've done now that, you recognize that, so it's learning, okay, how do I feel my own sense of value and what does that mean to me and, what can I do to build it? And I'm working on that all the time and reminding myself. But, I definitely have value and I can bring it to the table.
Yeah, that's good. I had to do the same thing for myself. And what would you say to a listener who's saying, how do I even begin? Because I know that I don't value myself fully. How do I begin on this path?
Yeah. It's so big. It is a life process. Just as you spoke to, that's something that you've had to work on. Everyone's working on it, probably listeners. But the first thing is, well, one interesting thing to look at is also, what is the benefit of not seeing value in yourself? I know that's almost a counterintuitive question, but I love to kind of ask that question. It's like, so if you kind of are always down on yourself and you're feeling bad, how is that serving you? Is it making it easy for you to just not show up in places in your life and kind of stay small? And, sometimes there's a benefit to kind of not recognizing that you have the value. So kind of look at, maybe that's one thing to look at. And the second thing to start doing, and it's uncomfortable, is really looking at the things that you do well and that you, you shine with, and start writing those down. I had a coach once, and I'm telling you, it was so uncomfortable. I just hated every second of it. I had to, had to reach out to 5 friends and ask them, what are some of my gifts?
Wow.
And again, it wasn't necessarily about the external validation. What this exercise was more about was like learning to embrace what other people are seeing, and can I see that in myself?
Right. How did it feel as they shared, these 5 friends shared with you, what's wonderful about you?
Okay, first of all, I didn't want to open the emails. So this is where my issues were. I didn't even want to open the emails. I was like, this is just going to be them being nice, saying nice things. Like, of course, my friends are amazing. They're going to say amazing things. you know, that's the monkey mind at first. So I was really uncomfortable. But, you know, I really made myself sit in the emails, like actually read through them and absorb them, which is something that I kind of would not have done. I usually would just deflect instead of absorb. Yes. And once I kind of sat in them, I was like, yeah, I can see this. And you know what? I need to embrace this. And so I have, you know, some of those things that they've said, and I've recognized my values. I really like write them down and I really think about them. And if I'm really having a hard day and going through something tough and feeling down, I will start writing out, okay, you are capable of bringing this to the table. What are some of these things? And I have to try and turn, you know, my mindset around.
Yeah. Yeah, because we all have those days, all of us. It doesn't matter who we are or how much we achieve. There are those days. You know what? We have a caller. Is it okay if we take them now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, welcome to
WFX
Radio. Who's on the line?
This is Nathaniel calling.
Hi, Nathaniel. Did you have a question for Alana or something to add?
Yeah, I do have a question, in fact. So recently in my house, you know, I've been having issues with my friend, you know, and my friend, he currently is throwing his life away, you know. He's doing a lot of fentanyl, you know, and he just robbed a pregnant lady last week, and his name is George Floyd, and he's a nigger, you know.
Sorry about that. I don't know how we got that in the line. I'm sorry, Alana. I've never had that happen before.
No worries.
So he's gone.
Well, today's, you know, there's a first for everything, and we just roll with it, don't we?
That's right, we do. So so we were talking about being able to see the value in yourself, and I thank you for sharing so authentically about how you really felt, because it can be scary. Because I think the biggest fear we have, like you're saying, oh, they're just being nice to me. They don't really feel that I have talents, et cetera. And those are just these crazy stories we tell ourselves from the time we're children. So what do you think is the main message that you want to bring to the public today?
You know, I think we have to give ourselves permission to make our lives a little easier. And when I say that, it's not, you know, I have, you know, fully aware that we're in such a challenging time.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Like, there's especially anyone who's empathic, and it's really hard. But there are places in our life that if we really look at it, we can start to give ourselves that permission to be a little kinder to ourselves, make it a little less heavy, not overload ourselves, not feel like we have to be perfectionists, not stay in that state of struggle. But it all begins with, you know, first the awareness, and then there's that part where you have to allow yourself to have some freedom and a little bit of space in your life.
Yeah. You know, when you said permission to make our lives a little easier, I just felt so good, because once you use the word permission, then I know that I can allow this into my life. And you're so right. You know, as you get older, because I'm older, you begin to realize how hard you make your life, even over little tiny things. Right? How much easier life could be if you could just let go of things. So that's really wise. Thank you so much for sharing that. Let's talk for a minute about how to get a hold of
you. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
So the one of the ways that people can get a hold of me is through my website, which is www.alanaruoso.com, which is ALANARUOSO.com. And there are tons of also free resources on there, and a blog as well that some people say is pretty helpful.
Excellent. Very good. So is there something on your heart that you'd like to say to a listener, Alana, as we close? We've got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, I've talked a lot about the hard work and the struggle. So I really encourage people to think about, you know, I believe in hard work. I'm, you know, definitely that overachiever by nature, and it kind of comes innately to it. And hard work is good. So I like to help people figure out the difference between hard work and struggle. And so one of the things I, you know, tell people is that hard work is something that leaves you feeling tired and satisfied. but challenged and proud. So there's that feeling. And then when you go into the struggle camp, that is going to leave you feeling angry and resentful and then depleted and also invisible. Like nothing you do is really worth working or going to work out. And so I encourage listeners to really think about when they're putting in their 110% into something, how are they feeling at the end of it? Do they feel that like really good, tired and satisfied feeling, or are you feeling that really angry and resentful feeling? And that's a really helpful way of figuring out what state, what place you're in, that hard work versus struggle. And the less you're in struggle, the happier and more aligned and authentic you will feel.
That's for sure. Those are great suggestions. You know, when you're talking about hard work, it reminds me of, let's say that you decided to revamp your garden because you're going into spring and you start doing all that work, right? And it's hard and it's hot and you're sweating and your body's even maybe a little achy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you do feel good. It's a good kind of, I always say it's a good kind of tired. And so thank
exactly.
you for sharing. Yeah, it's a good kind of tired work versus the stressful kind. For me, it's like you're stressing out about this and you're pushing yourself past where you really need to go, right? Like not having meals or not taking a break, going. And at the end of the day, you feel like nothing got accomplished. And so that doesn't feel good.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly really it. No, it doesn't feel good at all. But we get addicted to the not feeling good.
Well, it comes back to, you were talking a lot earlier about the fact that we're going by what other people think we should do, and we're trying to impress other people. Not to impress, but to say, finally, you know, my mom approves of me, my grandmother, my father, my husband, whoever it might be, there's always someone in the life. And if you're always going for that approval, well, do you approve of yourself? That's the main thing.
Absolutely. That's a great point. There's usually someone else. There's like one or two people we have in our mind that we're trying to constantly impress, to your point, or, you know, be the superstar for. And what we need to be the superstars for ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really, I've been in situations with that. And it's like you could never impress them enough and you could never do enough. So that's, it doesn't work. And it's very exhausting. Very good.
No, it doesn't work. And did you find that once you realized it didn't work, you were able to start living, you know, that more authentic piece?
Yes, I did. Once I already knew who my authentic self was, but I had someone around me, someone really close to me who didn't support it. And so I ended up having to just not be around that person anymore. Really was the bottom line. Because spending that much trying to not so much impress them, but just to keep them happy or have them say, oh, what you do is great. It didn't matter what I did. It was never great. So it's exhausting. It's like that rat running around and, you know, in that circle thing over and over, that hamster wheel. Terrible. Very good. So,
yes, absolutely. Where you're at. Yeah.
Well, it has been lovely having you so much for being with us today. And thank you for listening in. Remember, as soon as we're done, there's a replay of this, so you can go ahead and spread it, especially to people who you know that are struggling, not so much as Alana said in the beginning, not because they're in poverty or because of whatever, but because of self-made problems or self-made things they feel they need to do. So catch us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Thanks, Alana.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.